This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Hey, it's Tuesday morning and it's Party Line, floating in with Fleetwood Mac. Don't Stop. 1570 WILO. It's also Boone's Best 107. Hey, it's Chan Sheridan with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Glad to be with you on this March 10th. Hard to believe that we've made it this deep into the year, 2026. Wow, pretty incredible. Before I go any further, wish my wife happy anniversary. 25 years of happiness, blissfulness, and just a great, great ride so far. So thank the Lord. Pray for a good 25 more or more. It is March 10th, 2026, the day of our Lord, and it is a Tuesday. And we are kind of looking at the weather, keeping updated on the weather. We'll talk more about that after a bit. But before we do anything, we've got to make sure we thank our sponsors and appreciate all of them. We do have a good show for you today. We've got open lines up till 9 o'clock, and then we got Cameron Yates going to be talking to us from Delphi, the Delphi mayor. Going to be talking all things Delphi and what's happening, what's cooking up there. And so we want to have a chance to chat with Cameron in a little bit. But before we do that, we want to again make sure that we take care of our sponsors. We greatly appreciate them sponsoring the Party Line Show. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives every day. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals, save money now, 24/7, we love bigdeals.com. BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news source for Lebanon and Boone County. CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. And ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper, all things Clinton County. We've got the HoosierHeartlandTV.com, folks, that the list just keeps expanding, and we appreciate them helping us out with all, not just Party Line, but all the different events. It's a pretty good deal, though, when you come on and be a sponsor with Hoosierland TV, because you do get that Party Line sponsorship, and you're sponsoring multiple events, including ball games and community forums. The WILO Party Line telecast at HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, one of our very first sponsors. We greatly appreciate Jill. The Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Sheep's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties. Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing and Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, made my day yesterday. They helped me out greatly with the Anniversary World. Marshan's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Cooper Electric Services LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Linens Furniture and Lenin's Furniture and Mattress. I know the Linehans, and I kind of always want to hybrid those names. So, Lenin's Furniture and Mattress. We have we sit on Lenin's sofa every night. It's great. They did a beautiful job. Delivery was awesome and a great deal. And actually, we've got more. We've got a love seat. We got a chair, sofa system. Really good people. Check out things over there at Lenin's Furniture and Mattress. Mark will be glad to take care of you. Jerry's Body Shop and their new sponsor, Man Chevrolet and GMC and Delphi. And we'll be talking all things Delphi coming up at the top of the hour. But before we do that, it's open lines. And I was interested if you, you know, this is the governor and the state emergency folks. They have deemed this week as storm preparedness week. So we know that we're getting into that season where the weather becomes very unstable, and we never know how things are going to go. In fact, we've got some possible rough weather coming later today, and we want to make sure that you're prepared, and we want to make sure that you know everything you need to know. Today is, Sunday was weather ready nation. Monday, yesterday, was severe weather outlooks and watches. And then today is severe weather warnings and tornadoes, statewide tornado drill day. That's going to be taking place later, I believe at 10:15 this morning. They're going to be doing some sirens and things. So maybe you've got a storm story, maybe something that's taken place in your life. Maybe you remember Palm Sunday, maybe April 3rd, 1974. I certainly remember that. You know, you go back to Palm Sunday, the outbreak on April 11th, 1965, 47 tornadoes, 271 deaths, 1,500 injured. That was across the region. That was not just Indiana. Indiana had 10 tornadoes, 8 were F4, which that means they're in excess of 166 miles per hour, up to 200 miles per hour. 2 were F3s, up to 155 miles per hour. And remember, hurricane force winds are 71 miles an hour. So these things were way beyond hurricane force winds. Indiana had 137 of the 271, 137 deaths happened in Indiana, with 1,200 people injured. So crazy times. That was the Palm Sunday outbreak of April 11th, 1965. Maybe you have a story to share, but we want to certainly bring everybody up to this, you know, make sure that you're ready. Be weather ready. Joining us telephone, Russ Casper. Good morning, Russ.
Hey, good morning, Chan. Good to hear you. Yeah, weather is so important. When you preparing, one of the best things that Susan and I did around the house the last couple of years is we had John Baber come preemptively, and he went through every tree and trimmed it, you know, to make sure that it didn't fall on the house or anything. And I feel a lot safer, you know, because, you know, you get long in the tooth on some of those branches, and it's just an accident waiting to happen when you get 70-mile, 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
He went through every single tree and looked at it, and, okay, let's take this one out, let's take this branch out. And he removed a tree, one tree that was right by our garage, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it saved us a lot of money in the long run, or will.
Well, we know, you know, we've had some pretty inclement weather over the last few years. You know, when you're thinking about even our neighborhood, you know, there's been some pretty nasty stuff that have come by, little small F0s, F1, and some pretty strong straight-line winds that have taken out trees and damaged buildings. But nothing like, you know, we have seen in, you know, days past. When you talk about the Palm Sunday or April 3rd tornadoes, we've been pretty fortunate. But you know, just a couple of years ago, we had had some pretty major storms out on the southwest part of the county. I know our church was impacted by that. We had some homes that were taken out there in the Colfax area. You never know where it can hit and just what it will end up doing. So being prepared is a big part of that. I would say that you would also agree with me, being a good radio man that you are, that being prepared also means having a radio nearby that you can be listening to, and that's probably battery operated.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think of Bobby Knight. Everybody has the will to win. Very have the will to prepare to win.
Yeah.
It's not the will to win that matters. You know, everybody wants to stay safe during a storm.
Right.
But have you prepared?
Yeah, because, you know, preparedness is really a big deal, because how many times you get into an emergency and you're going, oh, my, where's the candles? Where's the lighter? I thought I put it there. Well, you know.
Where's the flashlight?
Where's the flashlight? You know, I forgot to put batteries in the flashlight. Oh, I didn't even buy batteries. You know, so,
we have a generators, of course, generator at the 1570, generator at the radio station, generator here at my house. Yeah. We had a generator at the Shine 99, too, and Olivet has that now.
Well, you know, storms, Indiana storms are a lot different than, you know, I grew up in Louisiana, and you had the hurricanes, and you had days, you know, to prepare. I mean, you pretty much knew at least 24 hours, if not 48 to 72 hours, that before that storm was making its turn, and you're probably going to be impacted. With Indiana storms, it's not quite that, you know, easy, because you've got, they just pop up a lot of times. Especially good old summertime thunderstorms can pop up and cause some damage. But I also think, and I may, you know, I'll pick your scientific brain and meteorological brain for a moment, in the sense that it seems like the troughs and the weather patterns have changed a bit over the last few years, and it seems like we have gotten more severe weather than not. What say you?
Well, first of all, I want to say that good weather is easy to predict. Bad weather is very difficult to predict. Mm. And bad weather is difficult to predict because it's often in 20 or 30 miles stretches. And if you could be 10 miles off and be wrong. Where good weather is usually wide, sweeping, large, high-pressure areas, much easier to predict. And I told this story about a Terre Haute weatherman on TV that he predicted something like, I don't know, a foot of snow or something in Terre Haute. And, you know, doomsday, it's coming. And they hardly got an inch. And... but 20 or 25 miles south of Terre Haute, they did get a foot of snow. So he was dead right, but he got the wrong location by 20 miles.
Right, and a lot of times that the way that pattern, you know, comes. Everybody, in fact, that's why you hear a lot of the weather folks, the weather experts, saying, "Hey, folks, we're tracking this." You hear the word tracking, you know, quite a bit, because they're tracking the system. If it drops, 5 miles, 2 miles, 10 miles, it changes everything for a certain location. And I think the severe weather, the type of stuff that we're looking at possibly even today, and looking at the forecast, isolated showers and thunderstorms after 5, mostly cloudy with a high near 73, and then showers and thunderstorms likely tonight with a low of 64, and then tomorrow showers are possibly with another thunderstorm or two. And here's the thing, as the temperature drastically changes, we're going to go from 73 today to 49 tomorrow.
So. Well, I have several broadcast friends, us included, that have lost towers, radio towers. Mm. And the last decade, I don't know if you've noticed, but Kentucky and Tennessee, primarily because of ice storms and flooding, they have really got a tough road to hoe. I have a friend he's got 26 radio stations, Bud Walters. About every year, in Kentucky and Tennessee, something would hit him. You know, when you have 26 radio stations, there's always something going wrong. And a flood here, or a ice storm there, or a tornado here, and of course he also had the opportunity to report on it, and he was a vital service to the communities that he served.
Well, and so true, because that's what we depend upon. I mean, we really depend upon the media in times of crisis, in times of the storm, that's maybe upon you, or maybe that is coming your way. You're depending upon good information, and you can't have hyperbole. You really can't have, when you have folks that are broadcasting things that out of emotion and out of, trying to make it bigger than really it is, there's no place for that in media, in radio.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Especially when it comes to storms.
I have software where it's aviation software, actually, but I can ping every airport around, virtually every airport around, and it'll give me wind speed, wind direction, and forecast for each individual airport. And I use that when I broadcast on 102.7, Boone 1027, and also 96.9. When we get in, I'll ping these airports, and I can, you know, we can see what is going on in Crawfordsville right now in real time.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember when Tammy and I were out driving that when we were doing storm chasing back in the day with Shy 99 that you were pinpointing. I was telling Melissa this morning about the one that came through Manson. We were right there when you said, you should be coming across right about now. And that's about the time the van lifted. So you were pretty spot on. So it was it's pretty amazing technology. Technology has changed a lot, especially when it comes to radar, because the radar guy has gotten deeper where you can even detect rotation now.
Oh yeah, and also have you noticed that really forecasts have gotten more accurate? I can remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, it was kind of like throwing mud at a wall in a way. But I've noticed when we have an open house night at Prairie Grass Observatory, and I want to know how clear it's going to be. You know, by the time you're about 3 or 4 days out, you can be pretty accurate on cloud cover and all the things that are important. I've got a couple hobbies that are very, very weather dependent: astronomy and flying. And I have noticed over the years the increase. But it's all gradual. It's like a frog boiling, you know. You don't notice it overnight, but over year after year after year, it keeps getting a little bit more accurate because of their models, the computer.
Yeah, and so explain to me this, because, you know, a lot of times, especially when it comes to winter months, there's all these different models. And, you know, you got the European model, and then you've got, like, I don't know, I can't even remember some of the names of the models, but... Why is everybody seeing something different? I mean, what are the models saying different that you would not just say, hey, here's the standard model of what we're going to be following, and this is what...
Don't get me started on climate change. Oh my!
I knew I would stir it up a little bit there. So,
but most of the climate models are running hot.
Yeah.
I think 70 or 80% of the climate science models run hot. And when you look at the last 10 or 15, 20 years, you start to see the data and you go, oh, that's not right.
But that doesn't matter.
it's what's inside the brain of the people,
yeah,
is what they're trying to move. And instead of looking at the hot models, you know, oh, right. Well, it's hot.
Yeah. And we're not talking about Farrah Fawcett, folks. We're talking about the weather. So, you know, the thing about when you look at that and recognize that unfortunately, even in the weather can become politicized. You know, even the weather, which is something that would be so simple to say, are we going to have snow? Are we going to have rain? Are we going to have sun?
Yeah, it has no place. I mean, either it is. What's the temperature? What's the wind speed? Was the forecast correct? Was it not correct? Is this right or wrong? You know, it's right. They're trying to.
Well, you think about look at weather forecasts now. When you turn on, I mean, they've got like a whole 10-minute segment anymore. I mean, it used to be the weatherman used to come on. Hey, we've got a front that's going to be swooping down from the plains, and it's going to leave some rain for some folks in Kansas, and it'll break up. I mean, but now it's this whole. Just it goes through all these details, and then they ask the question, maybe why? Well, why is this happening? Well, you know, I don't necessarily know if we need to know why. We just need to know what.
Well, there are some climate scientists like Curry and I can name others that were actually a champion of the climate alarmists and so forth that have actually flipped. And they started looking at the numbers and going, well, wait a second. That didn't turn out to be true. That didn't turn out to be true. That's a lot slower. That model's a lot hotter than it should be. And over time, it undresses their theory. It undresses their theory, and now they're naked, you know? Now, I'm again, we're politicizing weather, I guess, but it's very frustrating to me. It is what it is.
Yeah, and we don't know because we're not in control. I mean, the thing about it, science can show you maybe a front coming in, but, you know, that front can change directions or things can happen. We have seen hurricanes, you know, that was headed straight to a certain point, almost certain, you know, catastrophic results that turn, you know.
You know, how much do we worry about oil and carbon consumption, and then a COVID comes along, and then we put plastic barriers all over the place? We weren't that worried about plastic and carbon consumption then. And then we're you know, we're concerned about oil and carbon, and then we have a problem with you know, in the Middle East, and now the oil consumption doesn't seem to be as important.
I wanted to before you get out of here, I wanted to. I don't know if you've been able to see these, but they're illustrations. The National Weather Service has created these unique illustrations to kind of talk about what outlooks, watches, and warnings are. And I've got to share this with you because it kind of blows my mind. It's so the watch, which the definition of a watch covers a large area and usually is issued hours ahead of a severe weather situation.
Yeah, they'll put tornado watch almost in all of Indiana.
Okay, but this is how they use the example, okay? They're using tacos as the example. I'm not joking. A taco watch means that we have the ingredients, but not yet assembled properly a taco. That's preparation. Okay. Have we become this juvenile to be worried? I mean, we're breaking this down as a. It says the taco. I'm not joking. I'll take a picture and show you. It's right here on your board in the station. It's Taco Watch, and it's got a picture of tomato and cheese and lettuce and meat and onions.
And all the conditions.
And all the conditions are there. Now, I mean, I understand that's. Yeah, but it just blows me away that we have to get this, you know. Elementary.
Really, kind of goes back to what we already talked about.
Yeah.
Bad weather is harder to predict.
Yeah.
Good weather to predict.
So
I understand that they don't want to commit because they don't know exactly what's going to happen, and I get that.
And here's the deal. The other part of this is that when do we take personal responsibility? I mean, if you can't, you know, get up in the morning, or if nothing else, if you're not one of these people that watch the news or look at the weather or whatever the case may be, and you're just kind of going through your day, certainly you can look up and see the sky is turning dark and say, well, you know what, I probably ought to get inside. It might be raining. And if you don't have enough sense to do that, then, you know, I'm sorry, but you got more problems than just the weather.
So, yeah.
The taco warning is this. There's a picture of a taco in action. Okay, it is a fully assembled taco. Warnings cover small areas and usually issued minutes ahead of severe weather. This is the taco warning. We will soon be eating tacos or are currently eating tacos.
Yeah, I don't quite get the I mean, I hear sort of, but it doesn't resonate with me. Maybe it resonates with other people, but I have a little hard time.
Maybe it resonates with a third grader. I don't know. To me, the National Weather Service really probably should be focused on, hey, red, and what's going on? I mean, you know, we used to just have colors codes. You know, you had red, yellow, orange, or red, green, orange, or red. I mean, it just kind of, it baffles my mind that we have got, and I go back to 1974. A lot of this comes out of some of these super outbreaks because there was a lot of loss of life and property, and people then started blaming, weather services, media, the officials. Why didn't you get the, but again, you got to take personal responsibility. What happened to the people back in the 1800s that, out in Kansas that say, hey, it looks like that temperature's changing. Well, we probably ought to bring the horses in or let them out, whatever the case may be.
Now it's a political catastrophe.
That's right.
They politicize it. And another thing I thought of, once the data centers needed all the oil, you stopped hearing as
well. You were breaking up there, Russ.
Lots of energy, lots of electricity, you heard less and less about climate change and carbon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the narrative changes.
And so... Where was the anyway?
You're saying you're politicizing the weather right now. So here we go. We can't do that. So,
and me, you're welcome. Disagree 659-3338. And I think Melissa assembled a lot of cool things for you. What's the most interesting thing that she picked out?
Well, I mean, I just shared the Palm Sunday outbreak of 47 tornadoes. When you go back to looking at some of the top, the tri-state tornado of 1925 that hit, impacted Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. That was March 18th, 1925, one of the earlier tornado outbreaks, because most of them, majority of them are later. They're in April or late March. This one was March 18th. A lot of devastation. This was a one tornado, okay? Traveled through three states for 219 miles.
Wow.
On the ground.
Yikes.
300 miles per hour winds, it was estimated. So that was 1925. And then, of course, we mentioned the Palm Sunday. The one that I would probably most remember, that I was living in Alabama, that was the super outbreak of 1974. And that hit. That's the one that hit Monticello, and
yeah, I think Roosevelt.
Yeah. Well, Palm Sunday, I think, was Roosevelt, if I remember. Yeah, Palm Sunday. And
also Rossville.
Yeah, Rossville. But the super outbreak in 1974, a lot of damage, a lot of deaths. There was 148 tornadoes that touched down across 13 states, including Indiana. So. Yeah, those are some interesting tidbits, and I appreciate Melissa putting those things together. So, it's top of the hour, brother. I appreciate you calling in.
Carefully to the Delphi mayor, and I'm going to write a story about what you guys talk about.
Okay.
So,
well, we'll make sure I'll try not to interrupt him.
No.
Okay. All right.
We'll take care of all that. But, Clinton Carroll and Boone County Daily News, we'll do a story on your next interview.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Russ. Have a great day, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Russ Casper joining us this morning, talking weather. It is kind of crazy. Going to get a little weather maybe later today, so stay tuned. Watch the tacos. That's all I can say. It is Tuesday Taco. Taco Tuesday, right? I think that's the case. Hey, we'll be back with Mayor Yates from Delphi coming up here on Party Line.
Your home for classic hits, AM 1570, 96.9, and Boom 102.7 FM, WIL.